Wednesday the 12th of March, Hey Adol, show me, Rabbi Dan Roth, relevant, Pirkei Avos for the 21st century.
Firstly, thank you very much for inviting me here today to be part of this amazing enterprise. It's inspirational to see people have such chasimus for Torah that every day they begin their day Torah way. I'm not sure if you realize what how the shiurim that you give here in this day of Medrash actually sounds of Torah emanates throughout the world. I know people who are in Eretz Yisrael listen to the shiurim that are given here. I know that for a fact because I'm one of them from time to time. And may Hashem give you all the strength and Shabbat Shmai to continue this wonderful endeavor. Okay, so I hope everybody got a seat. We're going to take a new look at an old Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Pirkei Avos, Perakei Mishnah Kof. It's watered down in source 1. The Mishnah is as follows. Yehudah and Tema Oimeh. Havi Av Tanomeh, be bold in the letters. Kal Kanesha, light as an eagle. Rot Katvi, run like a deer or gazelle. Be Gibokari, and be mighty as a lion. Lastly, the sin of Yichov, Shoshanai. Do the will of your Father in heaven. Now, many of the Mepharshim understand that these four midos mentioned in this Mishnah are four unrelated qualities. In other words, in your life in general, these are four midos that are worthwhile trying to conquer. But there's no intrinsic relationship, there's no intrinsic connection between the four midos. However, we are going to be following the Mepharshim to understand that these four midos represent four stages of any act. Any endeavor, any project that you analyze, be it learning a certain thing, be it trying to conquer a certain middah, a certain character trait, a chesed project, it doesn't matter what the project or the endeavor is, you'll be able to, if you analyze it carefully, you'll be able to break it down into four parts. And the four parts of the project are represented by the four middahs to be analyzed. In fact, that is the approach of the chiddush, that is the approach of the vulgar, if you look in source number 2, a quote from the vulgar and the shore. Kan gilu lalu chazal, here chazal have revealed to us, avo as hafuchi kajrusim, the four strengths of character that are necessary to complete any mindset. Based on Yochum and Das Torah, also takes this approach. Most of the don't, but it's a Chiddush, and we're going to be looking at that Chiddush today. Okay, so let's begin. First, Midah, have the odd kilometer to be bold, and the leopard. So, what is so bold about a leopard? Well, as far as the big cats go, the leopard is the smallest of the big cats. Yet, pound for pound, the leopard is one of the fiercest fighters, prepared and is able to attack animals that are many, many times its size. A leopard weighs about 45 kilos, about 90 pounds. And yet, there's many recordings of leopards taking down great big elands, which weigh hundreds and hundreds of kilos. There's even a few cases of leopards carrying young giraffe 6 meters up a tree. Right? The young giraffe can weigh 2 or 3 times the size of the leopard, and nevertheless, it boldly carries it up the tree without feeling overwhelmed or being scared off by this daunting task. Now, what's the message to us? Rashi brought down in 43. It tells us, Rashi's stopping actually, it tells us how the Okonome be bold as a leopard, meaning, Tishazeg b'mitzvah yoyseh mishicholet v'yotcha. Undertake and strengthen yourself in mitzvah observances and accepting challenges, mitzvah challenges, good challenges, more than your capability. Right? We have to be daring, we have to be bold in our avodas Hashem. We must be willing to accept upon ourselves projects that appear many times our capability. Right? Just like the leopard isn't scared off. How often do people approach us to organize a chesed? How often perhaps we think about learning a certain text, a gemara, whatever it is, and we think, that's not for me, that's too hard for me. These projects are things for big tzaddikim, big people. I'm just a regular, a simple person. It's way beyond my capability. So the leopard teaches us, by example, to have a certain chutzpah when it comes to avodas Hashem. The leopard has this arrogance, this defiance, this boldness. Right? Leopard, just imagine a leopard looking at a giraffe, many times it sighs and thinking, what, me slept this up a tree? You've got to be kidding, maybe you're on the elephant, you've got the wrong animal. But the leopard teaches us, for example, to be bold and daring in our avodas Hashem, and that's the first stage of any project. Okay. Stage pictures. Oh, sorry, by the way, this is a shot of the 30-12 book of Source 4. If you look at Source 4 in the underlined words, where it says, take yourself aside for any good act. Don't think, me ani, or machayai, who am I and what is my life? That I should pursue this mitzvah. This such an endeavor isn't worthy only for big tzaddikim. Don't just shop for kamoni, not for a simple person like me. Avalani oimelachar says, you heard the mentema, shetiya az, that you should be bold, kanomish, that you shouldn't be cold, that you shouldn't be scared from anything. Asha inichazakal kachativa, even though the leopard isn't so strong in its nature. The word there in brackets that I conveniently skipped out, the Yiddish word, something like untaman, which means I'm told to undertake. Right? So that's stage one, to undertake projects and not be scared. Okay, Kal Kanesha. Now, you don't have to know too much about animals and eagles and birds to appreciate that there is basically nothing light about an eagle. In fact, as far as birds go, the eagle is the second heaviest bird, weighing anywhere between 4 and 7 kilos. Anybody know what the lightest bird is? Sorry? Hummingbird, thank you, weighing about 1.6 grams, as much as your tea bag. And if we take the eagle as weighing, let's say, 5 kilos, that's 5,000 grams, that would make the eagle 5,000 times as heavy as the lightest bird. So what does Yehuda and Chaos mean when he tells us to be light as an eagle? So, there was an ornithologist, don't worry, I also have to look that up, I knew somebody who studied birds. His name was Stephen Gordon, and he lived in Scotland, and he had a particular passion for birds. In fact, he spent 8 years of his life tracking and following one pair of eagles for 8 years. He and his wife Audrey would travel to Scottish mountains where they lived, photographing and recording everything they saw, and he collected his findings and published it in a fascinating book called The Golden Eagle. And in that book, Mr. Gordon makes the following very interesting observation, and that is that most birds, if they want to fly, let's say, from one end of the room to the other end of the room, right, doesn't take too much genius, but they're in a straight line from A to B. The eagle is unique, he says, in that it won't go from straight A to B. It will first fly in circles, spiraling higher and higher and higher, until it reaches phenomenal height, as high as 8,000 feet, sometimes this thing with the clouds. And from that very, very high altitude, it will fly in one long swoop, in one long glide. It will go for miles and miles and miles and miles. In fact, Mr. Gordon observed that one eagle he saw flew 20 miles. A glide with 20 miles. And if it didn't move its wings, it didn't have to flip. That its wings in one time, 20 miles, it just flew effortlessly. In the words of Mr. Gordon, utilizing its mastery in gliding, the golden eagle arrives at its destination after a journey on which no energy has been expended. One can almost say that distance means nothing to this bird. So with this piece of information, we can understand what it means to be light as an eagle. Because it is true that most often when we use the word light, we refer to physical weight. Something doesn't weigh a lot, so it's light. But the truth is that light could also refer to doing something in an easy way, in an effortless manner. Something doesn't involve too much energy, too much effort. So we say that's light, right? A woman says she's doing some light housework. It means that she's doing something that doesn't involve too much exertion. She says you're reading some light reading, right? In the book, right? It means that you're doing something that doesn't involve too much energy. And when the Mishnah tells us to be light as an eagle, it means to carry things out, carry these projects out in a way that doesn't tire us out and utilize, waste all our energy. This is the shot of the Derech Avos, and if you look in going back to Source 1, if you look carefully at the Baal Knoah, you'll see that's exactly how he understood the word light, right? Picking up on the Baal Knoah and the word Kal Kanesha, so he writes, Lachzah Kachamutah Zuchazor Loi Piyogea, and not to become tired out. Now, the Baal Knoah is going with a different mahalach, he understands that the Mishnah over here is talking about doing Chazorah. That's not our Mahalach, but just I want to pick up one thing from the Baal Knoah, and that is that he understands the Kalus over here, the Nesha, as being Loi Piyogea, not becoming tired out. So therefore, clearly showed us that the colours over here refers to doing things effortlessly. And in fact, this observation about eagles was made thousands of years before Second Gordon. It was made by Novi Yeshaya Brut over here in the Bar Tanur. If you look at source 5, I've quoted the whole passage, where Yeshaya tells us, the Kodah Hashem Yachlifu Choyach, those who put their hope and their trust in God would have renewed energy. The Alu Eva can assure him they will grow wings like eagles. The Arutsu will they go, they will run without becoming weary. The Yelchu will they offer, they will walk without becoming tired. It underscores the idea of the effortless manner in which a bird flies, right? When Yeshaya wants to pick a metaphor to doing something in an effortless fashion, he's have to pick the eagle because he understood that the eagle flies effortlessly. And the message to us is, after having been bold to undertake whatever the project is, we have to then carry it out in a way that isn't going to tire us out. How often have you taken projects and been all excited at the beginning, but after a few weeks, perhaps a few months, we get tired out and we lose steam. And we never complete the project. We have to learn carrying out in an effortless manner. Now, sounds beautiful. These are all fanciful words. Maybe I could write a poem about this. The light of an eagle, beautiful. But it doesn't mean much unless we analyze how we're going to achieve it. How, practically speaking, do we carry things out in an effortless manner? So, we have to analyze exactly what the eagle is doing, and we will then be able to do the same. What the eagle is doing is it's positioning itself in a place where it is able to harness the force of nature, the wind, that will never run dry, right? Wind is a perpetual force. The wind never loses steam, never stops blowing. And by tapping into this source of energy, the eagle is able to fly great distances and cover huge spans of distance without using any energy at all. Instead of just jumping into it, right, just like other birds, just starting to flap its wings and fly, it first takes a moment to position itself in a place that it will be able to tap into this force that will be able to carry it for miles and miles and miles. And the lesson for us is that we too also have to find forces that exist, forces that are perpetual, that will never run dry, and use those forces to help us carry out this bold endeavor that we've undertaken. Now the forces that we have, we don't use the wind. The forces that we have Kirchot HaNefesh, deep within each of us. We have character traits that are part and parcel of our personality, part and parcel of our psyche. And by tapping in and connecting whatever the project is that we want to achieve, together with this Kirchot HaNefesh, so we will be able to carry the project for years and years and years. Because Kirchot HaNefesh don't run dry, the basic Kirchot that we have in us. And let me give you an example perhaps that will make this more rather abstract idea more concrete. One of my rebbeim, he's a shliach in Roman Yeshiva, so he told me that he was once on an aeroplane from Zurich to Los Angeles, a flight of about 12-13 hours, and he knew that on the aeroplane they're going to be showing a film, right, and they're having big cinema screens, and he decided that he doesn't want to look at the screen. Okay, now, not to lift your eyes up, for 12 hours is a pretty daunting task. So the very fact that he was prepared to undertake such a challenge, that's already stage one, to be bold as a leopard. But then he has to be light as an eagle to carry it out. So what he did was, he told me that he pictured that a Talmud of his was sitting right next to him on the airplane. And he pictured, and he worked on this, he said he had a really clear picture of this in his mind, what it would feel like to have this Talmud next to him, looking at him. Would he be able to lift his eyes up to look at the screen? Of course not. He's scared, you know, with all the garb. How's he going to possibly, you know, he'd be too embarrassed to look up. And by doing this and getting this picture in his mind, he was able for 12 hours not to look up once. Now, how long do you think he could have managed to pull that challenge off had he not used his Kirch HaNefesh? In this particular example, he used the Kirch HaNefesh of being embarrassment, right? Embarrassment is something that is part and parcel of us. As long as we do it, we'll always naturally be embarrassed of certain things. Now, had he not tapped into the Kirch HaNefesh, how long do you think he could have carried out such a feat? You know, half an hour, an hour, 2 hours maybe, if he had a struggle, look up, go look up. 1 hour, 2 hours, struggle back and forth, should he look up, shouldn't he look up? But eventually he'll crack. Okay, 3 hours if he's really, really, you know, big giver. 4 hours maybe, but 12 hours, it's not shy, really. But using Kirch HaNefesh, it was effortless. He doesn't have to challenge anymore. It wasn't a back and forth anymore. It was easy. It was calm. Kirch HaNefesh. Okay. Stage three. to run like a leopard. By the way, at the end of the source sheet, if you have anybody interested, not possible exactly what these animals are, so if anybody's interested, there's a read on that at the end of the sheet. Okay, so to run like a gazelle. So stage number three is that even after pinpointing a character trait to provide momentum, the person will still encounter times of uncertainty, and he wonders if it was really wise to undertake the project in the first place. Right, doubts begin to surface. Perhaps I was being too ambitious when I accepted this commitment. Maybe I was aiming too high and expecting too much of myself. At such times, I mustn't hesitate but must push forward, running like a gazelle. Okay, the gazelle is hunted by several predators, and in order to escape, let's say from a lion or a leopard, the gazelle has to run swiftly, putting all its energy, focusing on nothing else but running away. Right, you speak to anybody who is a sprinter, who runs, but I'll tell you that the most important thing, the most important quality they need as a runner, is to be able to clear their mind of all foreign thoughts. They're not going to think about what they have to suffer or what they're going to do tomorrow, you know, like to pick the kids up. If you really want to run properly and run fast, you have to have this ability to clear your mind of all foreign thoughts and concentrate on nothing else but the goal. And that's exactly what we have to do after having been bold to undertake the project and having found a Kerech HaNefesh to carry it out in the right way. There will be times of doubt. Yetzirah hates nothing more than for us to achieve things in this world. And therefore he tries to put status in our minds, he tries to put doubts in our minds, and tries to convince us that we were being too ambitious, it's not shy for us, it's crazy, we weren't being realistic. And at that time we have to run like a gazelle, meaning we have to clear our minds and concentrate on nothing but the goal. We have to forget about all these doubts, realize that Yetzirah trying to dissuade us from achieving our goals, and focus on the end goal. And then you get to the final stage, the fourth stage, to be strong, bold, strong as a lion. Now, there are many animals that hunt besides the lion, and none of them. Sorry, first let's look at source number six to understand what that means. What's the connection between finishing something off and the lion? So source number six is the pasuk from Binom's Nevuah, the Pasuk from Salas. Binom says, "Kein am klavi yakul. Behold, this nation, this people, will arise like a lion cub, the chariyus nasor, and raise itself like a lion. The yishkav adirch al teres, it will not lie down until it consumes its teres, its prey, gam halon and yishter, and drink the blood of the slain." Now, what does the Torah mean by saying that the lion won't lie down until it consumes its prey? There are many, many animals that hunt, right? Many carnivores, and I don't think any of them would willingly go to sleep hungry, right? Why is the lion of all animals singled out as lo yishkav adirch al teres? It won't lie down to sleep until it eats its teres. You think a dog that's hungry will, you know, say, "Oh, too bad, I'll just go to sleep for the night." Of course, every animal wants teres before he goes to sleep, wants to suffer before he goes to sleep. So what is unique about the lion? So the truth is, the word teres doesn't have to refer to meat. Teres that we find in Parshas Noach, teres prostitute Aleph, where it says that the Yonah came back and it had Aleph's eyes teres with Tark with Sihar, right? You see that teres is used in regards to all foods that are eaten, not just meat. But the Targum Yerushalmi over here has a chiddush. One word in the Targum Yerushalmi completely opens the gates of understanding for us, where if you look at 4:7, the word underlined in the Targum Yerushalmi, where he says, "Adnandahu ochil ufoshet istam." So according to the Targum Yerushalmi, the word teres over here is understood particularly as meat, not teres in its more broad sense of anything that you can see, specifically meat. And therefore, the Torah is singling out the lion as not going to sleep until it eats teres, meaning bosa. Because it is true, all animals want to make sure they have their stuff before they go to sleep. But what happens when they can't find what they want, right? The dog, of course, he'd rather stick his teeth into a juicy piece of steak. But what happens if he can't find any meat? So he'll make do with whatever he can find, a little ant, whatever it is. A cat is sure enough to have a mouse to chew on. But if he can't find a mouse, it'll do with grass or whatever it is. But the Torah is telling us that the lion is unique, the yishkav adirch al teres, until it eats meat. Right? The lion is the king of the animal world, and kings are always want the best. They always want royalty, right? You don't find a king having a little, you know, pitan falafel. He wants a banquet fit for a king. And so too, the lion, which is the king of the animal world, won't settle for anything. He won't It won't be happy the second best. It will be undersold, and it won't go to sleep until it eats Rasa. And if you look at the Mephoshim over here, they all understand this symbolism of the lion. So it's telling us not to finish things until it's finished off, until it's the best way it can be finished off. Rashi brings in two pshatim, one on the phrase Yishkal, one on the phrase Dan Chalolim. Basically, it's just telling outside on the phrase Lo Yishkal. I don't care if Rashi says it refers to the Jew that won't go to sleep on the time for the night until he says Shema. So again, showing us the Chazal understood the symbolism of this pasuk is like this, and you won't conclude in this example, including the day, you won't conclude the day until you've concluded it to the best way of saying Shema. And Dan Chalolim refers to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't pass on to the world until he conquered Midian again, not concluding his life until it was concluded in the best possible way, in the perfect way. And there's other examples in the field have a different shot, but they all point to the same thing, that not finishing off something until it's done in the best way. And the message for us is, having spent so much time in being whatever the project is, to finish it off in the best way. Take an example of somebody who's been learning on the Sefer for years, and we've all been in the position, we're just a few lines away from finishing on the Sefer, there's just two more lines in places, and there's that urge to finish it off, right? No one likes unresolved business hanging over their shoulders, and you want to get to the end, and you're like, you know, fight over those last couple of lines in the world, because you want to get there to the end. There's this inner urge to finish things already and get them over and done with. So the lion teaches us to be strong, to have the strength of character to hold back and to finish whatever it is you're finishing, an example of learning and etc., to finish it off in the best way, to make sure you really understand Sari in those last two lines. Another example, there's many examples of this, but another example is the fact of how you look around. Unfortunately, so many people leave short. It's 1 minute, it's a half minute before the end of that last habit. Now, of course, there's many good reasons why people have to leave short early, but underlying all the good reasons is also this basic klach hanefesh that we have in us, that we want to finish whatever it is we're doing. We always want to go on to the next thing. So to be strong like a lion means to hold back and just stay until the end. You've already spent the whole hour davening shachris, so spend those extra 30 seconds finishing it off until it's the best way it could possibly be. Right, and another example would be your wife asks you to do some shopping for her or your mother, whatever the case is, and you go to the shop and you come back with shopping bags in hand. So what do us husbands do? Where do we put the shopping? On the floor, exactly. So we already did the chesed, we spent so many hours helping out. Finish it properly. You know, put away the groceries. Finish the chesed off in the best way it can be. Don't just leave the shopping on the floor. Put it away. That's another example of finishing things off. There's many examples. The Mashulach comes to you and you spend time with him, you listen to his story, you write him a check. As you're cleaning around, you give him a smile, you give him a word of encouragement, you see him down the steps. Again, you've done so many good things. Finish it off in the best way. Be Gibor Ka'ari. Just a concluding thought. Gone through the 4 minutes. Look, please, at source 9, the quote from the Talmud of Eliyahu. So the Talmud of Eliyahu tells us, we pick it up towards the end of the first line, where it says, we can honor based on the pasuk. We haven't got time to go into how it's meant out, but we'll just pick it up from the word, that the Jews are greater in Torah, they are able to achieve spiritual height more than even the Malachi HaShoyes. And it's obviously the goes of that saying, says the Tanakh, that the Jews are greater than all other parts of creation, any other being, the creature that Kodosh created in the world. And the next phrase, Eliyahu HaNavi tells us, he says, Lachain, therefore, Shonu Chachomim, Rabbonim has taught the Mishnah, and the Mishnah just looked at, the Otanome, Kartanesha, Yotzakhi, the Gibokhari, this last is the Rabbisha of the Shemai. Now, what's going on over here? Tanu Eliyahu starts off by telling us the unbelievable heights of spiritual achievements that we are all able to reach. As the Mephoshim explained, we all have a Chilipi Loikamika, we all Kabyoka have a part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in us, and as such, we are able to achieve unbelievable heights of achievement in this world. There's virtually no end to what we can achieve in this world. And after elaborating on this amazing strength that we have, Eliyahu HaNavi tells us, therefore, to be Azkenome, Kalkanesha, Duba, etc., etc. And the question is, what's the connection between these two things? Something missing over here. What's the Lachay? And the person explains that since we have such potential, we should know the way to unlock and bring out those keys that potentially each of us have in us. And the way is, by understanding these four niggas, these are namaste, sleep, and if you understand and you internalize the four things we've looked at today, you'll see that there's virtually no end to what you can achieve. People have told me unbelievable things that they've managed to achieve in their life based on some of these tools. And in fact, I've heard from our Abayim that brought him to Torin, that if we were exposed for one moment to our neshama, we would drop dead. We wouldn't be able to survive. If we would strip away and be able to cut away all our physicality, all our external entities, and look and be faced for one moment with our personality, become face to face with our potential, with our neshama, we would not be able to survive. It should be. We would drop dead. Now, the Torah doesn't say that, you know, we would get a mild surprise or a little bit of a shock. They say we just wouldn't be able to survive. We have no idea of the kirchhoff each of us have, the abilities and the potential each of us have. But the way to bring out these abilities are, number one, to be bold and defiant in a certain chutzpah in our Avodas Hashem, to undertake things that appear at face value to be many times our size, then to be kasha nesher, to carry it out in a way that we can pull off this endeavor for years and years and years, not to be childish and stink, and that we can rely on that initial motivation, that initial excitement, right? Excitement is just an emotion, and it's here today, gone tomorrow. We have to use our seichel, our intellect, to tap into a kirchah nefesh that will make sure we'll carry this out effortlessly for years and years and years and years. And then, stage three, to be rotsatzvi, to put out of your mind any doubt, realize it's dear to Torah, to focus on those end goals, and finally to be gibor ka'ari, make sure it's finished for the best way it possibly can be finished. I thank you very much for your time.